1.8 million dreamers held hostage for a $25 billion ransom.
Oh my God.
How's that for a headline? Good good morning, good afternoon.
That was it?
That's the headline. I'm sorry to disappoint you if you wanted more. And good evening, wherever you are, listeners and viewers who follow us through the magic of the internet from the Institute for Research and Development of Common Sense. In a little corner of the world headquarters of the Alfa Bros studio.
You see why I need a new computer now?
You have a black and white screen?
I don't know. I have a like what a the something heck is happening a there? With a video
you
card.
You need a new computer.
I need a new computer.
We need we need a new another sponsor.
I'm held hostage.
So we just heard our theme song. What the world needs now is love.
Oh my God.
But in this neck of the woods, our philosophy is what the world really needs is a little common sense. And yes. And next week we'll have visuals.
Really?
Yeah, because
on the common sense, on what?
Common sense, we have different ways of providing common sense to our viewing public.
Okay.
We have capsules. We have tablets. We have IV.
Really?
We have brownies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have, what am I missing? Suppositories.
You got it. And what else? What
enema.
Else? Enema.
Whatever.
What is the translation in English for enema?
Enema.
Enema.
Enema. In Spanish and in English, enema is it's like papaya,
yeah.
Cilantro. Uh-huh. There's no translation.
Oye, un enema. Hey, get an enema.
Enema. Yeah. It's universal.
Where the accentuation is? Enema.
Luis Valdivia, your gracious host with the enchanting Andy Fraguela.
Thank you, Luis.
Camera
right
four.
Here. Oh, my God.
And the enchanting Enrique Ibarra.
I only see three cameras, so I don't know where the fourth is.
I was going to say behind closed doors, but behind the cameras.
Behind the cameras.
Behind the cameras.
Making the magic
the
happen.
The magic.
Yes.
So thank you to Enrique, Alfa Bros, and our followers, and of course, our presenting sponsor, Mini Seslowski from Remax 24K Realty.
You got it.
And the message is, if you are even thinking, considering of buying a property, either residential commercial.
How do I think? Let's see. Today,
ideas just pop into your head.
And it's like, right?
I need to buy a house. I need to buy a home. So you can go to her website. If you want to go to the English side, you can go to 24krealty.com. Mm-hmm. In Spanish, it is preguntalemini.com. And you will find all the information you need to buy or sell.
What about askmini.com?
We don't have that. Don't confuse the public.
No.
We should talk about it.
We should look
but don't
into
say it.
It
because somebody's going to steal it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk to him later. Okay.
I'll go to GoDaddy.com.
Three ground rules. This show is not suitable for children.
Yes. Why?
Well, because there's some, as they used to say back in the day,
I'm having
mature content.
I am having a hard time trying to
it's
convert
a PG-13.
No, no. I'm just having a hard time trying to convert everything in English.
Do you think... When you're having a conversation in English,
yeah. Well, I don't know.
I haven't finished the question.
Oh,
when you are having a conversation in English,
yes.
Do you think in Spanish
yes.
and then translate
automatically?
Really?
Automatically.
You think
just
in
like
Spanish
that.
And translate?
Yeah.
I don't.
I don't know why. I try to. Switch
I mean, it's
it.
Fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It just depends on what side of the
I
brain
should
you're
do
using.
It for French and German and Japanese and everything else. Let's try to see if I. You
speak
I
German and Japanese?
No. No, I'm just, if I want to learn another language.
It is also very important to point out three ground rules. Yeah. Number two, this is not a show that's suitable for people with heart conditions.
I'm going to have to change this because this
or
thing.
Or for pregnant women because it might cause irreversible damage to their health. Because they might not agree with us. And then they have a, they have a cow.
Really?
And very
they
important.
They have a cow?
It's an American expression. Uh-huh. That their brain will go, pfft.
Oh, I thought that you were going to get an actual cow.
No. It's an American expression. I need to send you to pop culture school. Huh? Never mind. And
I don't know.
Please clear at least 1 gigabyte in your brain to absorb all the information that we're going to be dishing out here.
Oh, my God.
It is important to have a brain with a minimum storage of 1 gigabyte.
Wonder why.
Now.
Anyway.
Let's start the show talking about what we're not going to talk about.
Okay.
Okay? We're not going to talk about the federal budget negotiations.
Why, man?
or the government shutdown.
Why?
We're going to let CNN and ABC and the rest of them talk about that.
You know that. Well, I want to
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was listening the other day to a Cuban comedian down in Miami. I don't know if I can say the name or not, but anyway.
Why not?
Yeah, Alexis Valdez.
There you go.
Very, very famous comedian, Cuban comedian, has been very successful. And he was actually portraying, kind of like one of his different personas that he portrays.
Okay.
It's like
impersonations.
Like, oh my God, man, they cannot. This is our government. They should be getting together. You know, that's why we vote for these people to get to an agreement of what we need in order to move the country forward. Just imagine if you're in surgery, you know, and you have your open heart surgery, and you have two surgeons, doesn't agree. It's like, sorry, we're going to have a shutdown because I don't agree with that thing. What will happen?
So you actually think that when you vote, you are voting for people that need to serve the needs of
the public?
Really? That's why you vote for them? Because that's not the impression I get. I don't think that's the message has gotten to them. No. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to talk about the federal budget negotiations. We're not going to talk about the federal government.
Some people call it the daycare center at the White House.
Government shutdown. We're not going to talk about that. But I'm going to tell you what we are going to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about it.
We have the wrong president in power.
On the hell.
And I'm not talking about Trump.
No?
I am talking about Enrique Peña Nieto.
No!
The president of Mexico. We have the wrong president in power. And it's not for the reasons that you think.
No?
Can you imagine, have you seen the videos? Vicente Fox, our former Mexican president. I don't know if you've seen some videos that he has uploaded to YouTube where he speaks to Donald Trump. Vicente Fox has videos on YouTube where he speaks to Donald Trump about the wall, about...
It's a conversation.
I wish that Vicente Fox would be president right now while Donald Trump is president. Because as we say in Mexico, no tiene pelos en la lengua.
He doesn't have any hairs in the mouth.
That is the translation. That is the literal translation. But it just means that he has an open mind and he just speaks his mind. Like Donald Trump.
But what is
it? So can you? Wouldn't it be fun?
That's not free expression.
Yeah, but yeah, it is. It is. But that's a different conversation because a world leader needs to be diplomatic.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're not used to hearing that type of rhetoric from a world leader. But let me share with you this story.
I'm wondering if they go to school for that. How to talk properly, how to do behave this, how to, or they just let the cat loose.
Let it go.
They have Vicente coaches.
Fox,
huh?
They have what? They have coaches.
They have coaches, right? They should have coaches.
That beautiful, sexy voice is Enrique Ibarra behind the camera.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
So, former Mexican president Vicente Fox has a message for Donald Trump.
Uh-oh.
And it is,
Where is it?
I'm not paying for that effing wall. I'm gonna be very nice during this program.
Okay.
I'm not gonna use four-letter words. Vicente Fox told Donald Trump, "I'm not paying for that effing wall," and I'm gonna share this story with you. Vicente Fox made his feelings about President Donald Trump's proposed U.S.-Mexico border wall crystal clear. Mexico's former president doubled down on previous statements that his country would not foot the bill for Trump's southern barrier. "Quote: I said I'm not paying for that effing wall," said Fox. He revealed how the spirit of his dead grandfather partly inspired him to take on Trump and described the U.S. president as a mediocre businessman. He went on to say, "When you move from business in private sector into politics, you have to go through a process. Mm-hmm. This guy does not have any idea of the difference between running a nation and running a business." Obviously, Mr. Fox is able to say this because he's no longer president.
Correct.
I don't think that, quite frankly, I don't think that being president, he would say that. But wouldn't it be fun?
He will be
not wouldn't it be fun to
politically
have Fox,
correct.
To have, exactly. Wouldn't it be fun to have Vicente Fox as Mexican president when Donald Trump is president? That would be so much fun.
That would be interesting. Mexico doesn't have elections this coming this year, right?
In 2018.
Right? I don't know. When is the vote? When is the vote?
So this year.
I know.
June 2nd? I think. June or July.
That's interesting because you know, United States actually starts presidential elections and primary and yada 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 yada, spending money like crazy, you know, when other people need money for other things. 2 years prior to the vote, or 3 years prior to the vote,
they never stopped campaigning.
Mexico actually 6 months before you vote, you know, and you see all this. But you see it more heavily.
I understand what you're saying. But if you look at somebody like Andrés Manuel López Obrador,
right,
who is the candidate for the far left in Mexico, he has never stopped campaigning. I mean, his full time job is campaigning. But you're right. In terms of other candidates that have come into the scene in Mexico,
they do it in shorter time.
But you know, they use public funds,
right,
which is not the case in the United States. You cannot use public funds.
Oh, really?
You have to raise money in Mexico.
Yeah, sure.
But guess what, Andy? Enrique,
what?
We're not going to talk about that.
No, we're not. Oh,
we're not going to talk about that.
Oh,
no, we're not going to talk about
that. What are we going to talk about?
We're also not going to talk about sports.
Why?
Because it's against my religion to talk about sports. And of course,
he never went to sports school anyway.
Well,
but anyway,
remember, we don't like to talk about what everybody else is talking about. We like to be fresh and different and original.
We should talk about the temperature here.
Well, we don't like
to talk about the weather.
I don't like to talk about the weather, except you're right. Except, so I think it's a tie right now. We we always say that we don't talk about the weather except inside Starbucks,
right,
where it's always 65 degrees below zero.
Which Starbucks you visited this morning before coming here?
No, actually not today, but the studio this morning
is kind of cold.
Feels like Starbucks. But it's good because we have some expensive electronic equipment that needs
cooling.
Yeah, that needs
that needs
to be
cooling.
Cool. So
we only need the tequila here to
we
get
have,
it warm.
Yeah, we have we're a couple of minutes away from our first break, but you know what?
Right.
I think we're going to go to it because we have a lot to talk about in our next section, which is who cares? Who cares? And we'll be back in a couple of seconds.
This is the section that I love. We're back. We're actually back one more time. A dose of common sense here. Live through different platforms via the internet. Have you ever had a thought about buying, refinancing, or maybe what is it I need to do in order to achieve the American dream this year? I was going to say, preguntale a mini.com.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Preguntale a mini.com.
Oh, yeah. Visit her website, www.preguntaleamini.com. She actually is going to take care of you in person, believe it or not, in three languages, English, Spanish, and Spanglish. Para aquellos que no hablan inglés, te atienden español. Ask Mini. No, ask me.
We should do that. We should do that.
Exactly. You know, she has all the answers for you. She's been in the business for a long time, and she will take care of you, holding your hand and taking you from point A to point B until you get your dream come true.
So, again, welcome back. And, of course, the name of this show in Spanish. I think you're having a stroke.
No.
the name of this show in Spanish.
Strike?
Is una dosis de sentido común, literally translated into a dose of common sense. And we'll work on maybe a future, a new name for the show. I don't know. Let's talk about that. But continuing with the show.
Why?
Who cares?
Who cares if we didn't change the name?
No. Who cares is the segment that we're going to start.
People that stop me in the street. Hey,
right now.
You're the one in una dosis. Yeah. How do you want it?
Well, you're going to have to create a new audience. Anyway.
A new photo.
Who cares? These are things that we don't care about.
Okay.
And we're not going to talk about.
I can't use the computer.
Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
Who I don't know if you knew, is Latina. Demi Lovato. Will offer.
How do you say it in Spanish?
Lovato.
Okay.
In English, Lovato.
Lovato.
In Spanish, Lovato. Will offer concert goers free therapy sessions.
Huh?
who cares? I didn't even look into it. I didn't research it. I didn't read. I don't
care. Who cares?
Who cares? Eva Longoria.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was born and raised in Mexico, and I don't like to say Eva Longoria. Eva Longoria to reproduce hit Spanish series Gran Hotel on ABC.
No way.
Yes.
That's a Spanish novela.
I don't care.
From Spain.
I have no interest.
And you know who burned that Gran Hotel?
They actually burned down the hotel?
No, dummy. I'm talking the
he called me dummy. My guest co-host.
No.
What host I'm, dummy.
Bueno, no, in Spanish, that ay, no seas tonto. No, what I'm,
no me, seas pendejo.
No, tonto.
No, stupid. Okay. If you say stupid in English, it's like tonto. Okay.
But anyways, Gran Hotel took it's a very famous novela in mm-hmm. Spain. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they haven't actually. It's in Netflix. Mm. Mexico took the same concept and did a novela here in Mexico.
Oh, that's okay. What you meant by burned.
Yeah, by burned. Sí, so it's like quemaron. It's a Mexican expression.
Yeah, it's like a spin-off. Not yeah, a spin-off.
Exactly.
It's like a Mexican spin-off. Version. Okay.
Yeah. So now she's going to do
it. She's going to do it on ABC.
And, what a lack of creativity.
And I don't care. Shakira.
Really?
Under investigation for possible tax evasion in Spain.
Who cares? Wow.
Khloe Kardashian, mm-hmm. our favorite subject, mm-hmm. reveals that she's a big Selena Quintanilla fan.
Really?
Yeah.
It should be in the other section. Really?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Nicki Jam is hitting the small screen this summer. Who cares?
Really?
The amazing news that Enrique Iglesias and Anna Kournikova kept secret.
What is it? I don't care. Okay.
Casey Affleck withdraws from the Oscars and won't present the Best Actress Award.
Oh,
could not care
God.
Less. Jesse Williams and Minka Kelly have split.
Really? Mm. Oh, actually, we do have a Mexican director, you know, nominated for the Oscars this year.
Could you hold on a sec? That's down the script.
Well, I cannot use
and
that computer.
And we do care about that.
My computer went blank.
See,
okay?
I get... guest co-host.
We need funding. We need funding.
Because I don't send him the script.
We need funding. Where's the camera?
Ahead of time.
Where's the camera? Which one?
When
four?
I send
four?
Him the script.
Look at this. Look at this.
When I send
I'm
him the script.
I'm supposed to read this. I can't do it. I don't have funding to this.
He doesn't read the script. Now he claims that his computer doesn't work. Well, it's a low budget show.
I could have a mic.
Yeah, it's a low budget show.
Tener migraña.
That's an inside joke.
Andy, I suffer from migraña too.
Andy has a migraine. Okay. Finally.
Oprah
has told us her secret dog poop removal method. Finally, she has shared it with the world.
What camera? Number four?
Who cares?
Like, surprise.
Huh? Amber Heard. And Elon Musk are definitely back together.
I don't watch those channels.
Amber,
you know that?
Amber Heard was married to Johnny Depp. And Elon Musk is the founder of Tesla.
I don't watch TMZ or Yahoo.com.
Definitely
or, you know?
Back together, which is why we don't care. Okay.
This is not good.
That ends the section, who cares? Now, we have one of my favorite sections, because you just said that your favorite section is who cares. My favorite section is, Pinche Luis, you're a Republican.
Yeah,
because
I think you are.
Because I have been, and I'll go into this later on, because I want to talk a little bit about mm-hmm. that perception that I am not a Republican. But guess what? I'm not a Democrat either. Yeah,
you're
maybe,
a liberal?
Maybe you can call me a... Is that your other choice?
I don't know. What choice is what choice
Republican
you have?
Republican is a party.
Right.
Democrat is a party. Liberal is an ideology. You can be a liberal Republican or you can be a liberal Democrat. You can mm-hmm. be a conservative Republican or you could be a conservative Democrat. Okay? So mm-hmm. it's two different things. So in terms of a party, you can either be a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. In terms of your ideology, you can be a conservative or you can be a liberal, notwithstanding what party you belong to.
And with having an ideology, you can have socialism tendencies too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's wrong? Is it wrong?
Well, in the eyes of the United States of America, yeah, because, you know, socialism is not accepted in the U.S.
Yeah,
but we're not going to talk about that right now. But we're going to talk about it later.
There's no social program?
Pinche Luis,
okay.
You're a Republican. So here's the story.
Okay, let's see.
Guillermo del Toro,
right,
the Mexican director that you were talking about before,
mm-hmm,
leads the pack with 13 Oscar nominations. But, break out the violin, Latinos are still underrepresented in Hollywood. So this,
really?
So here's the thing. For years and years and years, there have been associations and think tanks and mm-hmm movements that say that Latinos are either underrepresented or not well represented in Hollywood. This means that there are not enough producers, not enough directors, and when somebody does get cast, they get cast as, you know, the drug dealers and the assassins and, you know, and I think, it, and that probably because it was Trump's casting agency, that they were only casting the bad guys as Latinos. I have seen a lot of progress myself. I mean, you have Sofia Vergara is the right highest paid actress in Hollywood right now.
Where's she from?
From Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Guillermo del Toro, now a Mexican director, now leads the pack with 13 Oscar nominations. We had Diego Luna,
right,
in a leading role in a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
You've had
Jimmy
Smits was in a Star Wars film. I don't know that he got nominated, but the point is he got a major role. And I see more, and I know that I'm going to hear that there's still a lot of work to be done. But you know what?
No.
You know what?
Here's my point. I don't think it's that.
Here, let me just finish my point, okay, and then it's your turn. My point, because what I hear is, if in the United States, 15%, and that's my perception,
right,
15% of the population is Latino, then 15% of Hollywood needs to be Latino. And they need to be portrayed in a positive light. And I don't agree with that because I don't want to be hired or cast or given an opportunity just because I'm Latino. I want the opportunity because I'm the best, because I can do the job, which is the case of Guillermo del Toro. He's not being given this nomination, or he didn't get 13 nominations because he's Mexican. He got it because he's a good director.
Right.
So that is my point. So whenever I hear, oh, you know, there's not enough roles. And the other thing is, Hollywood is a product-making machine. They make movies that people want to see. They're not going to make a movie just to appease a group of Latino mm-hmm activists. They're going to make, and when it makes sense, they do it. Like later on, we're going to talk about this. There is a Latino version of an old show called One Day at a Time
mm-hmm
with Rita Moreno, which apparently is successful. This is the right time to do it.
Right.
But they're not doing it just because they gave into the pressure. They gave in. They produce it because they think this is the right time to do this show focused at Latinos. That's my point.
Interesting.
So go ahead.
But you have a couple things here.
Okay.
One of the couple things is like you mentioned the word need. You know, Hollywood needs to have 15% of Latinos in Hollywood because Latinos in this country are 15%. So
that's my perception of that.
But then again,
I'm oversimplifying.
I know. But then again, we don't have the same capabilities as everybody else. You know, every people who come in the industry in Hollywood, they have the same talents and they're very good in what they do. You know, and I'm very happy that there's somebody like Guillermo del Toro and Diego Luna and Eva Longoria and La Vergara and every single Latino actor, actress, director, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good on what we do.
Exactly. And so I personally am tired.
We don't have to as an American, you know, or, you know, as a country per se, need to, you know, that word need to, that diversity should be open to everybody.
I personally, I'm just tired of the rhetoric, and I'm tired of the violins, and I'm tired of this chip on their shoulder. Oh, we're underrepresented, and we need to have more Latinos. Well, go out and do the work. I mean,
but the Latinos don't vote. A lot of Latinos go out there, and they don't vote, or they don't change, or they don't speak up because maybe, I don't know, this is only me talking out loud. Are we afraid of?
How does that? How does that?
Speaking up.
How does that relate to the Hollywood issue?
Well, it doesn't matter. But it relates to every single industry. It relates to every single part of our life.
Because
we have to speak up.
So I'm going to translate. I'm going to try to translate what I think you're trying to say.
Let's see.
Is because we don't speak. So we don't. We're not well represented in Hollywood because we really don't do our part. We don't try hard enough. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. If they tell you
by
no,
by saying we don't go out and
if
vote,
they tell you no,
we
like,
don't try.
If they tell me no, they tell me no. Well, no, keep going.
Well, what I'm saying is, you just mentioned the names. I mean, I see more and more representation, and instead of going out there and breaking out the violin and showing your chip on your shoulder, just go and do your work, audition. I mean, come up with your own groups. Produce your own shows.
What is a show? What is a movie? Basically, it's just a story of us. Every single person in this country, every single person in this world portrayed through a big screen or portray in a small screen, a story told by the directors, the actors, the actress, and everybody involved in front and behind the screens.
Yeah, and as long as we keep labeling ourselves, I thought we wanted to be part of the mainstream. It depends on who you talk to. I thought that some people were offended because they were called Mexican Americans. They just wanted to be Americans. But, certain groups want to stand out. You know, they do, I'm proud to be Latino. And I think that as long as we keep labeling ourselves,
right,
we're going to have this issue. And I think that, there's Latino film festivals.
Yes.
In terms of television, you have Univision, you have Telemundo, you have certain networks that appeal to English-speaking Hispanics. It's growing. Stop it. I guess the message is stop whining for the love of God and just do the work. That's it. Pinche Luis, you're a Republican.
Good. Damn.
You are a Republican.
Wow, that was good.
And you're going to go to hell. Okay.
Why?
We're ready for a second commercial break to say thank you to our presenting sponsor, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
All right. Thank you. We're back again after the second break commercial. We're live here in Facebook. A dose of common sense. Una dosis de sentido común. Every Saturday at 10 o'clock, if you're ever thinking about buying, refinancing, or have a thought about owning your home this year, 2018, where all the predictions are saying, that's a perception, it's going to be the best year, preguntalamini.com. She's going to go ahead and take care of you in person. She's an English-spoken lady. Spanish, okay, Spanish too, and Spanglish. So, ella te atiende en tu idioma. Ask Minnie. Preguntalamini.com, and she will take care of you, holding your hand from point A until you get your home keys.
So, there's no point B?
Well, yeah, the point B is the keys.
Oh, okay. Duh. But you know what? You said you know, this is going to be the best year. This is going to be a good year.
No,
but you know what? That's fine. No, but that's how it should be. That should be
every
your
year.
Mindset. Exactly. This is going to be the best year ever. No year is going to be perfect. Every year is going to have,
life
you know,
it's not perfect.
No, but you know, you have to have that. You know, I'm going to do better than I did last year on certain things. So you know,
today is like going to be the best day. And if it's not the
you
best
know, the
day,
only
it's
thing
okay.
that would make it a heck of a lot better.
What
is if you had brought us some coffee? Because
you know
when
what?
We
I thought
started
about,
this
you
show,
know, you got spoiled.
Back in
I thought about it. I thought about it. I said, you know
Andy
what? I
used
have,
to bring coffee.
You know, I know.
And then
Enrique Enrique gave us like instant coffee here. And you know too.
He did. You
know? Yeah, he did.
I blocked it out.
You blocked it out
because my
Why?
Religion does not allow me to
was
drink
not a,
instant
it was
coffee.
Not, it was not budget for that.
We're an instant coffee budget production.
I'll bring coffee from Oxford next week.
We can't even afford $1.75 from Starbucks. We can't. We just can't. We have a new section. You know, you might want to try, Enrique. You might want to shoot our special report. No.
Oh, you know what? We can have a coffee pot here. Anna. Oh, a little
new section.
Wait a second. Anna.
A new segment.
Anna Elena Ferreiro. Interesting conversation. Thank you for joining us. This Saturday.
Do we have the graphics and the...
Oh, my God. Look at that. Kind of interesting.
A new segment. This segment is called Not Your Abuelita's TV Show.
No?
No.
Why?
This is not. Well, here's the thing. There used to be... back in the 70s, there was a show called One Day at a Time.
I think my mom used to watch that.
Really?
She watched that novela. She watched General Hospital, then The Beauty and the Beast, and then what was the other? ABC, CBS, and NBC? Novela?
No. You're thinking about One Life to Live.
No.
I'm talking about One Day at a Time. One Day at a Time was not a novela.
Oh. Well, they didn't have a novela here. It's called El Hospital General.
General Hospital is, General Hospital is a soap. I'm talking about One Day at a Time, which was a sitcom in the 70s that it was about a single mother, which back in that decade was revolutionary for its time because, you know, they started talking about what was going on with society at that time. It starred Bonnie Franklin, Valerie Bertinelli, Mackenzie Phillips, and Pat Harrington. Pat and Bonnie are no longer with us.
Why? Where'd they go?
They passed away. Welcome to my life.
I'm just
welcome.
I don't know.
To my life.
One day at a time.
I think of a lot of people.
One episode at a time.
A lot of organizations adopted that phrase. One day at a time.
One day at a time. So, fast forward 30, 40 years, Netflix is now producing One Day at a Time Latino version.
Really? In Spanish?
This is the interesting thing. No, it's in English with a Latino cast talking to the general population about what's going on with Latinos.
Similar to the sitcom that has Netflix on, it used to be with Jaime Camil, the new one.
Are you talking about Ugly Betty?
Jaime Camil was an actor, and he had the daughter.
Jaime Camil was on the Mexican version of
Betty La Fea, but did they have
La Fea Más Bella? Anyway,
right.
Let's talk about One Day at a Time.
Okay.
One thing at a time.
Okay.
The new version stars Rita Moreno, and stars Justina Machado. And it's now also about a single mother. Well, let me share this. Let me share the story.
Do we have videos on that one?
One Day at a Time
over there
addresses the stigma of depression among Latinos. This show has not shied away from discussing the stigma around depression, among our population. Justina Machado portrays military veteran and single mother Penelope Alvarez in the series. Her character works to support her family while coping with post-traumatic stress disorder, also known as PTSD.
I want to raise my hand.
Let's talk about it.
Depression
and anxiety. She says that old school Latinos don't really believe in depression. You work through it. But said she hopes her character's journey will help change that attitude. The stigma around mental illness affects hundreds of people within the Latino community. In 2014, 10.3 Hispanic men out of every 100,000 died by suicide, according to the National Institute of Mental Health.
Can you repeat that number?
10.3 Hispanic men out of every 100,000 died by suicide, according to the National Institute of Mental Health.
People are going to say, that's nothing.
Well, that's just, I mean,
that's a fraction. That's a fraction. Yeah, when you talk in numbers
of the ones that died. I mean, there are other causes, but right. Anyway, but none should die from depression.
Of course not.
None. The figure has remained consistent going back to 1999. What's more, according to a 2016 study in the International Journal of Health Services, only 2.3% of Black or Hispanic young people saw a mental health specialist in a given year between 2006 and 2012, compared to 5.7% of white children and young adults. It's just not a thing with us. You know, Latinos, we don't go to psychologists.
It's a stigma.
Last season, Machado's character struggled to take medication and seek help for her anxiety, and she was particularly hesitant to open up to her mother and her kids. Netflix dropped a trailer for the new season earlier this month, giving fans a taste of what's to come when the series returns this month. The 2-minute teaser touches on Penelope's battle with anxiety and depression, an LGBTQ love storyline for her daughter Elena, and her son Alex's experiences with xenophobia. So this is a show that's tackling social issues, specifically among Latinos. So now let's talk a little bit about that, Andy, because I know that this is a subject matter. Stop reading the reviews.
I got a friend of mine here on my phone.
I have lost control of the show.
Macintosh.
Not that I had it before.
Lorenita Macintosh. Translate. I thought you were speaking English, Andy. I think that made so many different different points you didn't have an opportunity to respond. I don't consider speaking up and honoring our culture, heritage, yada, yada. Winning Sofia Vergara wouldn't be get paid, something like that. But anyway, it's too long to read, okay? And I really want a Sprite right now.
Okay, so we're talking about depression and how it's a cultural thing.
It is a cultural thing. We don't talk about it because if you talk about depression, you're sick. You're not worth it, and nobody wants to pay attention to you. I think it goes a lot more deeper. And I can tell you from experience, not only in my family, but as a personal experience, once you approach, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, but once you approach a midterm, your
midlife crisis,
when you're getting close to 50, that your perception of life takes a different spin. You know, I see my dad depressed for many years, mm-hmm. You know. Where he actually went and start drinking, you know, and I thought at that time, and I think at that time that if he would have got some help, talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. If you go to a psychologist, you're crazy. If you go to a psychiatrist, you're crazy.
And that's the problem.
And it's like, why? Why are you depressed? You don't know what's going in inside your body. You don't know the demons that you have to fight, and I fight it. Yeah. You know, and I'm a disabled vet, and I do have a PTSD. You don't know the demons you fight on a daily basis from the time you get up to the point that you get down.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And let me tell you, you know, being in depression sometimes, you know, that dark hole that you go into, sometimes you don't have a way out.
It's tough.
You don't have a way
out. It's tough. Well,
you know, and you come out by joining supporting groups, reaching out at your VA level chapters, because there is, you know, hooking up or reaching out to organizations like American Disabled Veterans, like Wounded Warriors, like any other organizations that really can guide you to the right steps to get help.
Yeah, I know that definitely, you know, especially when I was younger, because mm-hmm. now we're in our 50s, we're more mature, we can talk about this more openly. But, you know, when you're younger, and when you're talking to a friend, and I would have a very close friend, and he mm-hmm. would open up to me, and I said, you know what, why don't you go to a psychologist? No estoy loco, I'm not crazy.
But because of probably your mom and your daddy and your grandmother.
Because that's what they put in your head. But let me tell you something. A psychologist is simply a person that helps you deal with stuff that is going on in your brain, like a dentist helps you with your teeth,
right.
And the cardiologist helps you with your heart. Where is it written that you have to deal, just like you can't deal with your teeth by yourself or with your heart by yourself,
mm-hmm.
maybe where is it written that you have to deal with everything that's going on in the system that controls everything?
And disabled.
Who told you that you need to deal with that yourself?
No.
The fact, if you, and because the problem is, number one, accepting that you need help.
Exactly.
That automatically makes you believe, I have bad mental health. You know what? We all need help. And this doesn't mean we're crazy. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us. I mean, the fact when you sit down with a close friend mm-hmm. and say, you know what? I have a problem. I need your advice. That's what you're going to do with the psychologist.
Right.
Your friend is only going to do as much as they can based on their experience. The psychologist is going to give you advice from a professional point of view. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And not really an advice, because I strongly believe that every single one of us has all the answers. You just need a clarification of what you're going to do.
You know? Many times.
Coaches do that.
I totally agree with you. Many times we know what the solution to our quote-unquote problem is or where do we need to go. We need somebody to confirm it for us.
And fellow veterans, and this is all the federal veterans who can actually see us and hear us and everything else. There's a lot of groups. PTSD, it is a mental illness. It is something that we have to deal with. And you don't need to be disabled. You don't need to lose an eye, an arm, a leg in order for people to treat you better.
And here's
you know
the thing. And now you and I understand it. But that's the other, I mean, what you just said, some people don't take it well. Mental illness.
Yeah.
I'm ill mental. You know what? Let's not even say mental illness. You need support. You need support to have good mental health. Mm-hmm. Just like you need support to have good physical health.
It's the same thing it's the same thing when you add what you lose somebody very close to you, you know, and you go through the grieving process.
Yes.
You know, and you go into that dark hole of the grieving process to try to come up mm-hmm. on a daily basis. And it's going to take some time, and you need people.
Yeah, you need a support system. You can't do it, and all the alcohol in the world is not going to help. All the drugs in the world are not going to help.
Because
you need to go to the root of the issue.
And sometimes the only thing you need is somebody to come close to you, hug you, and tell you everything is going to be okay.
And it's probably not your fault.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's probably not your fault.
And that's where humans sometimes are lacking off.
Well, just to close this section, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, Andy, but several years ago, I want to say 10, 15 years ago, I remember Mike Wallace from CBS News
mm-hmm.
Sharing his story about depression. The wife of Al Gore, mm-hmm. I forget the name of the former second lady of the United States.
Mrs. Gore.
Came out and said, I've been dealing with depression. And many well-known people, celebrities, politicians, you know.
Everybody.
And it started to place a face to the word depression to, I'm going to share this with you now, and we've talked about it, is now that I think I kind of have a handle on it myself, I realized that I've been dealing with this since I was a kid. And it takes a lot. And now I put two and two together and I said, oh, that was probably a result of my depression when I was in grade school, junior high school, you know, I mean, and we're going to talk about me, but
and it's a surprise. And it's a surprise.
I've been dealing with this all my life.
And it's a surprise how the majority of the illnesses, you know, or traumas that we grow up as an adult in our life, it comes back way back.
And in my case, obviously, you know, as you hit 40 and, you know, the testosterone levels go down and you're more prone to depression, that's just a trigger.
Yeah.
But some of us have been dealing it for a long time. It had nothing to do with, you know, the midlife crisis. It was just...
And you talk about perception because it's very easy. It's interesting how we switch mentally. The sentences,
mm-hmm.
I have all the time in the world, but once you hit that mid 45, 50, it's like, oh, shoot. How much time I have left?
Yeah.
It's interesting, a perception on just two sentences.
That's why let's not worry about the time ahead. Let's think about today, right now,
and one
make
at
the
time,
most of it.
And make it the best day.
I can't believe we're always almost out of time. We have one segment left, so we're going to go to our last commercial break.
We need funding for my new computer, please.
We'll be back in a few seconds.
We go back. We're back again, one more time here at A Dose of Common Sense, Una Dosis de Sentido Común, coming to you live on Facebook every Saturday at 10 o'clock. If you ever think, or thought, maybe, or kind of like scratch your head and say, this year I need to make the steps to own a home. This is the year 2018, this is the best year ever, today is the best year ever. Ask Mini, pregúntala a Mini.com, she will take care of you by holding your hand and taking you from point A, from your thought to becoming a homeowner or refinance or any other questions in regards to real estate, to point B, to hold the keys of your home delivered straight to you. Mini, Remax 24K, pregúntale a Mini.com. She speaks English, Spanish, Spanglish.
And everything in between,
you know. You know, she probably say, you want a Sprite? That's Spanglish for you, okay?
Thank you, Andy. And again, welcome back to A Dose of Common Sense. Yeah. Luis Valdivia and Andy Fraguela. And I started the show by saying that 1.8 million dreamers are being held hostage for a $25 billion ransom. Don't you think that by now the entire population of the United States of America should know what a dreamer is?
I think people don't know. What is a dreamer?
I mean, we've been talking about it. Trump has been talking about it since he started his campaign. And, I mean, come on. No, the reason I... Okay, so, for those of you who don't know, for those of you who missed school and didn't get the class notes, dreamers are people living in the United States without documentation who were brought to the country when they were, you know, little, when they were children.
Okay.
But it's just funny that I hear every time I hear a news report in English in the United States and the term dreamers come up that they need to explain it. I mean, come on. I was watching an interview with somebody saying, you know, they were talking about the dreamers and he said, you know, blah, 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 dreamers. And then the interviewer stopped him and said,
right,
children that were brought to the United States when they were children. It's like a little, yeah, like really? A little disclaimer. I would think that people know by now what we're talking about when we say dreamers as it pertains to immigration. But that's just my
opinion. They don't actually put it together with DACA or is it the same thing?
No. They need to be told every time. Okay. They need to be told any time. Okay. So, I'm guessing that by now, you know, everybody knows what we're talking about. So there is a new proposal from the White House that is going to be presented to the Senate, where with the intention of hopefully coming to an agreement for a budget, where the Republicans are saying, okay, we are going to offer a new way for 1.8 million people living without documentation in the United States. We're giving them a path to citizenship in 10 to 12 years.
That is a number, or there's more people?
That is everybody. The estimate of the number of people who would be receive the benefit of this proposal. In return for...
Well, wait a second. How many years?
In 10 to 12 years.
Interesting to know. In 10 or 12 years, 10 years will be 2018, 2028,
yes,
2030. We will have to see if we have elections in those years. Those people that are going to be citizenship, they're going to be able to vote. So they're probably going after the vote.
in 10 or 12 years.
Oh my God.
Follow the vote, follow
yeah,
the money.
Follow
okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they're giving the Democrats right, that right. In return for no more diversity lottery visas. Mm-hmm. No more what they call chain migration, which means that you as a resident or a citizen can sponsor your spouse, you can sponsor your children. As a citizen, you can sponsor your siblings and you can sponsor your parents.
Okay.
Those last two would no longer be.
Parents and?
You would no longer be able to sponsor siblings or parents, only spouses and children. And the third one is $25 billion for a wall. Okay?
Oh, so that's a sticking point.
That's well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of sticking points. Now, here's another reason why I'm sometimes called a Republican. Mm-hmm. I think that all of us in this room believe in legal migration. Here's where I personally stand with the current situation mm-hmm. of Dreamers in the United States. Because it's very easy to point fingers. They point the fingers at people who don't have documentation in the United States because they broke the law. That's why, you know, conservatives call them illegals. I personally feel that the blame is shared
right.
by those who crossed the border legally and by a system that allowed for them to remain in the country for so many years. This is not the Republicans' fault or the Democrats' or the liberals or the conservatives, it's the whole system. And I'm going to explain why. Because you might remember that it was Ronald Reagan, a Republican president, mm-hmm. who supported an amnesty program back in the 80s,
right.
where hundreds of thousands of people took advantage of that and became legal residents.
Right.
What did that do? It opened the eyes of hundreds of thousands of people from all over the world saying, oh, we can get amnesty. And they continued coming to the United States mm-hmm. in every way they could. Carlos Salinas de Gortari, one of our former presidents, was once asked, what is your position regarding these people that come to work to the United States from Mexico? And he says, I consider them heroes because all they're trying to do is that all they're doing is looking for a better life for themselves. Granted, they're crossing the border illegally. Now, when you take your kids and enroll them in school, when I finally had my green card and everybody in my family had a green card and we finally were able to go to the U.S. and I went to enroll my kids mm-hmm. in grade school and in college, I was not asked to produce any documentation that proved that I had the right to enroll my kids in an American public school. They took my word for it.
Right.
There's a space that says social security number, if available. And of course, we were all legal. We had our social security number. We were not asked for any documentation. When I was enrolled in school in Mexico, I was first enrolled in kindergarten. When I was taken to grade school, when I enrolled in kindergarten, a public kindergarten, the first thing that was asked of me was my birth certificate to prove that I was a Mexican citizen and had the right to be in a public school. When I went to grade school, they asked me for my little kindergarten certificate and my birth certificate mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. When I went to junior high, they asked me for my grade school certificate and my birth certificate. Again, every time I change school...
But those are legal documents that you need to produce.
Exactly.
Panama, in Mexico. Panama is the same way.
Exactly. Why is that not the case in the United States? That's the problem. That's how people get filtered in. If the United States had that system, you need to prove to me that you have the right to be enrolled in a public school. They wouldn't have the problem they have right now. However, the way I understand it mm-hmm. is that it's all about the money, because public schools need as many people, as many students as possible because of funding issues. So if they start establishing these limits mm-hmm. and not allowing 700,000, 800,000, 1.8 million kids to enroll in school, they're going to lose a lot of money.
Right.
So
right.
So right now, because it was a collective problem that we have right now, the solution should be collective. You can't just say, well, they're here illegally, now we're going to throw them out.
No, but you're not. Because you allowed it. You're pointing fingers.
You allowed it. The system allowed it.
Yeah.
You effed up. And it was a collective effed. You know, it was a collective F. So now let's work on it together.
We don't think that we have to look through history in this issue, going back, and not only to Reagan, but going back in time and see what, you know, what the country did as far as immigration.
I think it's always an issue.
That was one question.
You know, recently it's more extreme. But the point is that I don't, and that's one thing.
The other question will be, well, you know, is what do other countries do? You know, in terms of immigration, you know, that they have to look through history. Did they go through the same system? Did they have a different system? You know, the same way Hollywood, you know, just off the subject, Hollywood takes a spin-off of something else in some other part of the world. Why not? There are some systems that make sense in other countries.
Thank you. Why do we need to reinvent the wheel in terms of healthcare, in terms of immigration? Why don't we? I mean, there's about 200 countries, more than 200 countries in the world. Why don't we see the model of other countries
and whatever makes sense, whatever has worked
in other countries, implement it here. Follow the money.
You know, it's
now.
But again,
we're almost out of time. But what I can say
is an opinion out loud.
What I can say is, mientras se ponen de acuerdo, you know, as these people are fighting left and right and negotiating,
we're gonna close it. Nobody works tomorrow.
You have whatever the number is, 700,000, 800,000, 1.8 billion people in limbo. These are human lives.
Yep.
These are so. Yeah. When you're in Washington D.C. talking about the illegals, and until we know people.
Yeah.
I mean, they live among us. We know the stories. They're sitting, you know, in their little comfortable air-conditioned office. Have you ever met one of these people? Do you have any idea what they're going through? They, you know, it's very hard for them to get a job. I mean, these kids that they had, they were 3 years old when they brought them here. They were raised in the United States. Now they can't get a job. Those that have, you know, that have not applied or were.
Do they think about empathy?
No, they can't get, you know, a decent job. Let alone health insurance.
Yeah.
I have seen those cases. What's happening to these people is inhumane. This should not happen in the United States of America, in the country where the Statue of Liberty says, give me your poor, you know, your desperate for, I forget the exact line, but give me your poor, you know, looking for liberty and independence.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
For freedom.
That's the thing I cannot believe.
At what age
have insurance and people die from not having an insurance because all the red tape and everything else, and that's a human life.
That cannot happen in the richest and most powerful country in the world. At what age did we lose our compassion? It's inhumane what's going on.
Compassion,
whomever's fault it was, it is inhumane that a human being that was raised in the United States brought to, you know, not by their choosing, and, you know, have an illness and have no health benefits. Mm-hmm. It's inhumane. Mm-hmm. But 11 o'clock.
Wow.
Thank you very, very much for listening to us, for viewing us, for putting up with us. Just a little
program note. English, by the way. You know, yeah.
Because we like to do things different once in a while.
Oh,
we remind you that some of our shows are online. You will still see it on Facebook, on YouTube, iTunes. Just look for us and you will find us. And hopefully we'll see you next week. And just need to remind you that what the world needs now
is una dosis de sentido común.
A little common sense.
There you go. See you next Saturday. Week. Thank you. It's
just for some, but for everyone.